Everybody was having such a good time. I hated to break it up. If y'all need a little longer, go ahead and just help yourself. That's what family's all about. You know, when you love somebody, you can't hide it. When you want to be around somebody, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be around them. If you want to do something for nice for somebody and it's genuinely in your heart to do it, there's a good chance you're probably going to do it. One thing I like about the Christmas season is we all get busy, but Christmas reminds us that sometimes we just have to stop and all the busyness, and we have to remember all the good things that God has put into our life. And I think that's necessary every year. I think we should be doing it more than just one day a year. Matter of fact, I think we ought to do it every morning when we wake up. I think if we did, I don't think we'd have near the problems that we think we have. Said this 100 times, I'm going to say it 101. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, why don't we realize how wealthy we are because of the things we have? How many people here have storage rooms? You have a storage room? How many people have places in your house you have things in storage? Oh, yeah. Do you have any idea? If you just want to recount that, do you know what that means? That means God's a God of more than enough. You got so much you're having to store it. Somebody, how are you doing today? I'm doing so great. I got to store stuff. I got so much stuff, I got to store it. Somebody say, that's a good God. I'm going to tell you something. If you ever get to a place in your life where you don't think you can, remember this. Maybe you can't, but He can. I know I said that for somebody today, and somebody here needed to hear that word. That word was for you. Because I'll tell you, I can't count the number of times I've been at the end of my rope. I've been at the end of my strength. I got a place where I couldn't reach it. I couldn't get there. I couldn't do it. And I can tell you, every time it was in my inability that God took over and His ability and capability stepped in and did the thing that I couldn't do for myself. Anybody give a testimony and say, that's me, Bishop, man, that is me. It's a good time, a service like this, to think back. Just this year, you don't have to go any further than that. Just go to this year. And I want you to think of how faithful God's been. Think of how things could have turned out, but instead they turned out. If y'all are waiting for a sermon, this is it. Somebody are looking at your watch going, is he going to stand up more than that? I get up there and I exegete the word Sunday after Sunday. I try to break it down from Old Testament to New Testament through. And listen, we'll get that done. But today, if you don't mind, it's Christmas. I just want to talk to you. You know, sometimes you just got to have some, you know, right now, aha moment. Sometimes you got to have some personal time where you can just say some stuff. And sometimes some stuff just needs to be said. That's all. And if we're going to be family, we got to talk about it. And it's okay, because I'm telling you, we have tremendous momentum this year. How many people were able to be here last week for the Christmas production? Don't worry if you weren't able. Now, there's no way we can duplicate what it's like when you're in this house with the live sound, with the presence of the Holy Spirit, with people in agreement. We can't recreate that. But we can give you a taste of those of you that missed it, of what it was like and what God is doing here in Ozark, Alabama. And so we're professionally having the music mixed and professionally having the video altered right now and prepared. And what we're going to do, glory to Him, our present to you is probably next week you're going to see show up in your emails. We're going to send you a copy of Christmas with the King. Merry Christmas. How many of you watched it and thought, man, I wish so-and-so was here. Oh, man, I wish so-and-so could have saw that. How many people want you? Oh, I wish mom would have said it, or dad would have said it. Well, guess what? Now they can. And we're encouraging you, send it to whoever you want to send it to. Just share it. I don't know about you, but I like to brag on our church. I do. And so I said, check this out. And I just, pull one of my favorite clips up, and people go, that's your church? I said, that's our church. Yeah, that's our church. When you coming? I don't know if you know this or not. I invite a lot of people to church. I never tell them I'm the pastor. They go, yeah, I'll come. They'll sit there, and all of a sudden I'll walk out, and they'll go, you don't have to be the pastor to invite people to church. Do you know what I found out? People want to be invited. I can't tell you how many times I go, where do you go to church? And they'll go, well, and they start stuttering. Well, and finally they'll say, well, I really don't have a church. I just step right in. I said, well, you got one now. And I'll tell them, I say, you want to come? I said, listen, I'll come pick you up. You ever offer to come pick somebody up? Now, I ain't going to get them by myself, you understand. I'm going to go ahead and get some stuff said. Men don't need to be picking up women and go with your spouse. Women don't need to be picking up men. Go with your spouse. If they got a spouse, you don't need to be picking them up. Joe. This is all family business, but it's good stuff. Going into this next year, guys, I'm going to ask you just a couple of brief questions that you might consider. I want you to consider how committed God is to you. I want to ask you a simple question. Are you as committed to Him as He is to you? Think about it for a minute. God never leaves you out. No, God never leaves you out of anything. But are there some things in your life where you're leaving God out? Are you remembering that when you wake up the first thing in the morning, He should be the first thing on your lips? When you close your eyes and you're about to go to sleep, He should be the last thing on your mind. Are you remembering through the day, not just when you're having 911 crisis, but are you remembering to include Him throughout your day? I will tell you, all day long, I am purposefully reminding myself, and I'll say, it'll just hit me, and I'll go, Lord, thank you. I just want to thank you that everything's so good right now. And even if it wasn't, I'd still thank you. Questions. Anybody ever have questions? Instead of getting online, instead of, calling, phoning a friend, why don't you just get in the Word? One thing that intrigues me, we all talk about the gift of salvation, and praise God we have it. But the gift goes beyond salvation. Jesus looked at the devil and says, man does not live on bread alone, but from every word of God. Every word of God. Here's the gift he left us right here. He left us this gift. The book of life. Every answer you'll ever need, every problem that ever needs solved will be in here. Now, it may not come in the form of an exact, you know, implication of what you need, but the resource is in here to help you mentally ascend to the thing that you need. And it will give you the basis on which to stand by to make sure that you don't make the wrong choice. Because if you don't have standards in your life, then the standard can elevate in your own. So you have to have principles for your foundation. And so I'm encouraging everyone. I'm going to challenge you. Will you be committed to God like God is committed to you this year? When we have services, yes, it matters if you're not here. It does. It does. My dad used to say something to me, and you know, when he said it back then, I thought, man, that's a little harsh. The older I get, the wiser it sounds. People will do what they want to do. We had plans. Did you have to plan it on Sunday? Because what you said when you planned it on a Sunday, knowing you could have done it on a Saturday, you didn't want to give up your free time. But knowing that you didn't do it on a Saturday, listen to me, somebody. You showed God where your priorities were. Listen, I'm dealing with a lot of these things myself. I don't want you to, you know, these are things that I'm having to face every day. Decisions. When there's a need, and you know there's a need, and the Lord's tugging on your heart to meet that need for someone, and you find some way not to be there or find an excuse not to, I'm just asking you to check your heart and make sure that that's really what God wants you to do. Because I got a feeling God would rather have you meet that need. Can I tell you a quick story? You guys might like this one. One time I was at TBN. I was doing interviews. And everybody remember Mr. T? I pity the fool. Remember? So I'm getting ready to interview Mr. T. And we were sitting in the green room talking. By the way, he is in real life just like he is. He talks just like he does on the screen. That's not a made-up voice. He's like, Jesus good. You know. And he's got this persona about him. He's bigger than life and this super nice guy. Oh, my God. Some things you may not know about Mr. T, because, you know, you see him as a Hollywood actor with that cool haircut, right? And he pities the fool. He's bad, you know. And he had that image. And you look at someone like him and thought, well, he must have just, you know, looked up and just hit it big. Let's not. I asked T a little bit about his life. T started telling me in that green room, he said, you know, he said, I was going to a little church. And they were struggling. They weren't going to be able to make their bills. And if they didn't make the bills, they were going to come take their building. And they were helping a lot of the kids in the community. And without that church, those kids didn't have a chance from where he came from. Chicago. So they had a bad man competition. Mr. T entered the bad man competition and won $50,000. He took that $50,000 and went and gave it to that church. The reason he entered the contest was so he could give that money to the church. Oh. Next year came around, and that bad man competition came back to Chicago. He entered it again and won $50,000. What do you suppose he did with it? Took it right back to that church. He said, this time you won't ever get the shape you were in last time. Then a man named Sylvester Stallone happened to hear about this man who was winning, who was a true bad boy, had the look, had the sound, and casted him for a movie. changed his world forever. See, T could have made a decision. Because that time I asked T, I said, well, how were you set financially? He said, I didn't have nothing. I just wonder how many of us, we had nothing and walked $50,000 down to a church. But he heard from the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. Now he is a household name. My kid knew who he was. My grandson will know who he is. You see what I'm saying? All because he was obedient to do what God told him to do and put someone else's needs above his own. That happened. That happened. So you never know what kind of blessing God has around the corner for you. No, you may never be in a Stallone movie. You may never be a household name. But you know what I'd rather be than a household name? I'd rather be a heavenly name. I want my name known in heaven. I want my treasure going up there. Who is this guy? Keeps cashing in all these blessings in heaven. He's not telling anybody even what he's doing. See, all those treasures are taken up, it says, to heaven. Everything you get recognition here stays here. No, oh, I'm talking to somebody now. So this Christmas, I want to talk to us as a family. And I want to challenge us to see who can outgive who. Now, when you give, it's not always about money. Don't be shallow. You got time, you got treasure, and you got talent. Which one do I give? Uh-huh. You give whatever you need for what the situation calls for. Many times I've offered my talent to people, didn't have to give them a red cent. Many times I've offered my gift, and if I had given them cash, it couldn't have accomplished what my gift did for them. So it's whatever fits the situation is what you do. And you notice I'm not talking about, hey, you need to go put some money in the offering. I'm talking about investing some folks around you. I didn't say it. But Jesus said, you're supposed to love all these people around you like you love yourself. Well, I think we're doing pretty good for ourselves. What do you think? So the question is, what are we doing for everybody else? Just a question. Guys, this isn't to condemn anyone. This is not what this is about. It's to convict you a little bit, to challenge you. Are you doing enough? Could you maybe be doing a little more? Could you help a few more people? Because I'm telling you, we're living in a world right now that needs some help. It's not easy to stand up for what's right. Do you understand if someone has a mindset or is doing something and you just go along with it? Do you know you just agreed with it? It's okay. You don't have to do it in a rude or a mean way, but you don't have to accept it. I've been challenged many times on many subjects, and I try to be as honest with I can. They'll ask me, what do you think about that? Are you all right with that? I said, I'm all right if it's all right with you, but that's not all right by me. If that's what you choose, you're allowed to make a choice, but that's not the same philosophy I embrace. That wasn't rude. It wasn't mean. I just shared my faith. So, church, why am I saying these things? Why are we going this direction today? Because we've got a year ahead of us, and as a church, we need to prosper. And the only way we can prosper is if we are Jesus Christ outside of these walls. The only way we'll be able to accomplish what God has called us to do as a collective body is when people look at us, they're looking at Him. Why do you think the name of the church is glory to him? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's easy to make the easy decisions, and it's hard to make the hard decisions. The question is, are you willing to make those hard decisions? I'm here today to try to set you up for success and not for failure. But the only way we're going to get there is we're going to have to excel to another level and ascend to another level of faith. What is faith? Faith is, I have more confidence in his word than I do the situation that I'm facing. That's faith. So I don't know where you're at in my life, but can I share where I'm at with mine? I'm at a point in my life right now where I'm like, either this is real or it's not. Now, I've come a long way with this, and this right here has never failed me. So for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. How many people say, today, Bishop, I'm serving God. I'm going with God. I'm not backing down. I'm not backing up. I'm standing up. I'm sticking up. I'm going to speak out. I'll do whatever I need to. I'm going to stand up for the faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's my Christmas message. It's a message of hope. It's a message of peace. But most of all, it's a message of love. Because you have to love people enough to tell them the truth. Now listen, in a few minutes, we're going to receive communion. And communion is when we take that time and we say, this is our moment when we are one-on-one with God. You're not looking at the person to the left. You're not looking to the one on the right. You, he said, do in remembrance of me, are remembering who he is. And because of who he is, that defines what he does and what he has done in your life. And so that's your moment to come into a oneness with him, to remind yourself the calling upon your life and your commitment to that calling. Now, if you're in here today and you've never made a decision to follow Christ and say, I want to make him first in my life, I would love to give you communion, but the Bible says that you would be receiving it unworthily, and we don't want to do that because it's against what God has asked us to do. So what I want to do is simply just offer you a choice this morning. And if you would like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to pray a simple prayer. And when we do that, that means you just agree with the prayer, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, and according to Romans 10, you're saved. And from that moment forth, now you've given Jesus permission to come into your life and to navigate you back on a path of salvation. And then once you do that, yes, then you may receive communion, because now you are one with him. He sees you spotless. He sees you with no blemishes. He sees you with no faults. He sees you, watch this, as a perfected vessel, even though you're not yet perfected. Sanctification is an event, but it's also a process. Somebody say amen. I know it's taken all of us maybe a little longer than we thought it would, but I don't know about you, but I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. I'm just not quite there yet. But in the process, it's nice to know that I have a loving Savior who's going to offer me forgiveness every day of my life until I am. Till I have completed the process, and he has completed the process in me. So if that's you right now and you'd say, yeah, Bishop, I want to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. And nobody's going to embarrass you. We're not going to stand you up or anything. In a minute, we're all going to pray together. But, you know, when I'm saying a prayer, I like to know who I'm praying for and agreeing with. You know, I just kind of like in my mind, I like to come into agreement with anyone that I'm praying with. So if you're in here today, you say, yeah, Bishop, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus today so I can be one with him. Just let me see a hand real quick. Just throw your hand up. Any hands up in here today? Just let me see a hand. Who are you? Thank you for that hand. I appreciate that. So kind. Anyone else? Again, you're not saying you want to join a church. You're just saying, Bishop, I want you to remember me when we pray. Anybody else? Thank you for those hands. Thank you for those hands. Sometimes it just takes a minute. You know, you just got to sink in. It's okay. We're not in a hurry here today. Is there anyone else, just so I can see? Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you in public. You'd want to make sure you're not ashamed to receive him in public. Again, nobody's going to embarrass you. I just want to know. Who it is? Anyone else before we go to praying? Okay. Now, if you've been away from Jesus and you've asked him into your heart, but sometimes things get in the way. We get distracted. We get pulled off to the left or to the right. We're doing things. We know we're not where we need to be with God, but yet you want to get back where you were. Now's the time. Because when we do this prayer, this brings you right back into a oneness relationship with Jesus. So is there anyone like that here today? You say, yeah, I need to get my stuff right. Let me see those hands. Come on, let me see. Yeah, there we go. There's the hands. Come on, let me see. There we go. Let me see. Yeah, hands all over. Okay, that's it. See, when you did that, you said, God, I give you permission. God, you can make it better now. God, you can fix it now. God, you can straighten out my life. I've tried, and I'm not doing such a good job. That simple. So let me do exactly what I said I would do. And if you don't mind, could we all stand to our feet out of reverence for God? And I'm going to ask you to repeat after me and bow your head, close your eyes. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home, and you are my Lord. I believe it, and that settles it. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, say in Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have your communion with you, and those of you who have just made that commitment, before you leave, make sure we'll have a couple pastors down here at the stage. Come down and share with them. Say, hey, I gave my life to Christ today. We just want to see who you are. We want to pray with you, tell you how happy we are with you for making such a wonderful choice. If you will, we'll go ahead and let you get the elements open. They're a little tricky, but have confidence you can do it. First, we'll take out that little wafer in there. Is there anyone who doesn't have communion? Just put your hand up and we'll make sure we serve you. There's one over there. These are not lunchables, so you don't get more than one. All right, is there anyone who's not quite got it out of the package yet? Everybody okay? Still got one working on it? Okay. All right, everybody. It says when he had given thanks, he broke the bread And he said, take, eat, this is my body. And he said, it's broken for you. And I want you to take this personal today. He did this for you. Say, he did this for me. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. When you're taken, I want you to remember all the goodness and all the wonderful things he's done for you. You can partake in the other. Take a minute, I want you to remember. In the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. And he said, this do in my remembrance. So, Father, we thank you for the blessing of salvation upon our life. We thank you for the protection that you've given day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. Lord, we thank you because your blessings have been innumerable. There's no way to count them. Lord, your kindness has been overwhelming. Lord, we thank you that you've been so forgiving in our lives to tolerate the nonsense that we still partake in, yet you still love us with the same measure of love. God, we ask you that this would be the best year yet. We not only thank you for this year, but we thank you in advance for all of the wonderful things that you're going to do into our life, into the future. And as we become one with you now, and we are reminded of our commitment, our calling, and help us as we go out of here today to be the lights into that world. Help us to step outside these four walls and be the church that you have called, the church of Jesus Christ, with you as the head, for it's in Jesus' mighty and wonderful and powerful name we all pray. And everyone agreed, said, amen, amen, amen. Come on, just give heaven some praise right now. Something we like to do is called the candlelight service. Jesus looked up on the Lake of Gennesaret, and he looked up on the hill, and he said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Because if you've ever been on that lake, when you look up there at night, it glows with brightness. He said, you are the lights of the world. So if you will, I want you to take those candles right now. And here's what we're going to do. The usher will light it. Light mine last. And what we'll do is you'll light it and you'll pass it and light your neighbors. Please don't set anyone's hair on fire or the sweaters. Keep your eye on your candle the whole time, please. Someone gets lit up, roll them around about three times. So nice. Wow. In a minute. Wait, 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 wait. Stand. Wait, wait. Stay right there. Still got a few in the back. How many people remember the sermon I preached called Get Lit? Man, we should have done this then. Is everyone lit? Everyone hold these candles up. And again, watch people's hair, please. I want you to look around. Let's sway a little bit. Let's go this way. Let's just start swaying a little bit. Isn't that cool? Just look at all that. This is what it looks like when we all move in harmony out there in the world. We stand out. People take notice. And they see that it's a beautiful thing. And wherever that light goes, you'll notice it dispels the darkness. It exposes the things that are in the dark. And so we want to be just like this light that we're holding. Father, I thank you. We praise you. We love you. We thank you for making us the lights of the world. For you're the light that burns in our heart forever. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, let's hold them up. Let's just hold them up high. There go, church. Come on, let's just wave a little bit. Everybody looking around. I want you to hold this image in your mind for all year. I want you to remember. Let's sing. This is beautiful, and this is to remind us of the season, but more so to remind us of the Jesus that we all know, love, and serve. Church, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a great big God bless you. Remember, the wax is going to be hot, so let's let them cool for a moment, and we'll take them back there to the bucket on the way out, okay? So on three, one, two, three. God bless you, everyone. Have a Merry Christmas.